Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C. Potter's beat writer Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune, one day after the trade deadline. So I don't need to ask you, Ryan, where you want to start. I just want to take a second to acknowledge on this day, maybe I should do once a year, the irony of the name of our podcast and the misguided notion that we had back in the day when Scott Boras, agent for Eric Hosmer, called, you know, praised the Padres hot lava of minor league talent and how Eric was going to help harden them into molten rock. Because we thought that all these prospects the Padres have, it would be like an army coming up to the major leagues and turning them into contender. And that's not what they use them at all for, Ryan.
At all. They have three guys, Kevin, who we can say, yeah, they brought up and turned them into guys, right? Tatis, Merrill, and Adrian Morahone. And everybody else gets traded at the deadline, it seems. And I think that's where I want to start today. The Padres addressed a big and deepening need for starting pitching yesterday by getting, I would argue, outside of Tarik Skubal, two of the top three or four starting pitchers available on the market. They acquired Robbie Ray from the San Francisco Giants and Casey Mize from the Detroit Tigers. Let's go sort of one at a time here on these deals, Kevin. Number one, let's start with Robbie Ray. Left-handed guy, shoved against the Padres on Thursday. Traded him, gave up a couple of prospects. What role does Robbie Ray fit? Is he their ace as we head into August?
Yes, I want to make sure that I use the word ace properly. It's one of my little things. There are like 10 aces, tops, in the major leagues. One of them is Tarik Skubal. But if you want to go by who a team's ace is, I think you could argue either one of these guys is. I think you could argue on a that Michael King has been. None of them are aces. They are the Padres 1-2-3. How about that? And we'll get to some news later that definitely cements the idea that they would be the Padres 1-2-3. But like, yeah, this was, you didn't ask me the grand picture, but like, other than adding a left-handed bat, like this was the number one priority. And then adding a left-handed bat should have been like, you know, 1B or C, right? Like 1A, but like a distant one. They weren't able to do that. Mm-hmm. What they did is they got not one, but two impact-type starters. That's what they did. Robbie Ray, his stuff is down. It's not what it was. He's one of those guys, though, and I'm not putting him in the Scherzer level, right? But one of those guys who's figured out, like, how to maintain and be absolutely effective with diminished stuff.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, and look, we've talked about Walker Buehler sort of charting that new path forward, right? Robbie Ray's a perfect example. Robbie Ray doesn't throw 99 anymore, but you know what? He can hump it up pretty good, and he gets by. And frankly, there's been few pitchers better than him in baseball over the last 2 months. An ERA of, what is it, Kevin? 1.09?
Yep.
I mean, what else could you ask for, right, out of Robbie Ray? The fact that he's left-handed. I know that handedness doesn't matter to many people, especially it seems in the Padres organization. Man, a left-handed ace in a division where you got to face Shohei Ohtani. Give me that.
Yeah, and by many metrics, including, let's see, he has more quality starts, which I think that was his ninth on Thursday when he went six innings and gave up a run against the Padres. I think it was four hits, one walk. Michael King has 9 or 10. The rest of the Padres have 9 or 8. So what I'm saying is, sorry, just woke up. What I'm saying is, regardless of the specifics of those numbers, like Robbie Ray just upgraded the Padres rotation by a factor of a lot.
By the factor of a lot. Casey Mize, I'll back this up real quick. Kevin, I've probably seen Robbie Ray pitch 50, 60 games in my life, right? My previous life in Arizona, he was there. He's been, you know, in the West, and he's been recently in the Padres division. I know what they're getting in Robbie Ray. I'll be 100% honest with you. I don't know a whole lot about Casey Mize outside of he was the number one overall pick in 2018 out of Auburn. He was expected to be a stud, and he's been good and really good here this year, but not necessarily an ace. Fair?
Yeah, absolutely. And then he was able to sort of the last couple of years sort of be their number two. And you know, he's been pretty good, right? he knows how to pitch, this guy, and he knows how to get deeper into games. Been bothered a little bit by like a groin thing this year, but has been really good. He's pitched 16 starts. Both of them were very small, short stints, and he's been back for 2 months now. Started the season really hot. Hasn't been that good, but we're talking about, again, if you're talking about upgrading, I think it's like a low threes ERA in the last, 10 starts. Yeah, it's funny. Like, you talk to people and it's like, oh, he was a disappointment. Okay, because he was the number one pick. I think that's like based on – now, look, he hasn't been what I guess they would have expected, right? Like, it's the expectation that then sets what a guy – whether he was a disappointment or not, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this guy has been a good pitcher for like his last 45 starts. He's been one of the best pitchers in the major leagues.
Right. Do you think that what they got – and we can get into this just very briefly. The Padres gave up four total minor leaguers in those two deals. The most notable guy is probably Cash Mayfield. He was in the Futures game. He was part of the haul for Casey Mize. This Casey Mize trade was announced, I think, just after the 3 p.m. trade deadline, Kevin. Purely informed speculation on your part, do you think that this was the Tigers lowering their asking price, or do you think that this was the Padres meeting the Tigers' asking price?
I think it was the Padres meeting the asking price, but like those are always hard to say because like the asking price is so high, and this worked out, I guess, like a lot of people in the industry said it would, that it would be this rush of deals at the end. And there always is, but this seemed like more because of the nature of the market this year. The asking prices just remained high into Monday afternoon. And so, you know, there's teams that are like the Tigers are in an interesting situation where they still, I don't know that they're in it this year. Like, even though the American League, no one wants to be like ruled out, or no one is ruled out. And the Tigers certainly have a recent history of coming back when they were done, but like, they're not far away. Like they didn't, from the Padres, they didn't get major league ready guys. They got Jackson Wolf, but you know, he's a quad A at best. He's actually a triple A pitcher. They have a lot of good talent because they've stunk for so long, right? Like they came here or to San Diego in April and or March, they were like one of the favorites, right? Yeah. Like they have good young talent. So they expect to contend right away, right? So it's an interesting deal about how the Padres gave him Cash Mayfield. Like that was a big deal. And I've got to imagine, and I haven't been able to check on this, Padres are dealing with some other stuff right now. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But, you know, that was a big give, right? Like I got to imagine like that was the asking price. That was the asking price all along.
Right. Something that I think is so interesting about trade deadline, and we really don't have this in other sports, right? There's not really an NFL version of this. I think show me what you do at the trade deadline, and I'll tell you a little bit about your franchise, right? AJ Preller yesterday, somebody essentially said, hey, defend trading your top pitching prospect for a rental. And AJ Preller's like, we're in, we're trying to win. I'm never going to apologize for trying to win.
And good for you.
And the team that the San Diego Padres are playing right now, lost two last night, the Arizona Diamondbacks, now two games ahead of them in the standings, did very little. I mean, it's Lars Nootbaar. That's it. That's the trade. This is a team in the Diamondbacks that doesn't have a closer, really. Paul Sewald's been bad. This is a team, like the Padres, they're very flawed. And I think that the Padres were very proactive and the Diamondbacks were very passive. And that may speak to both general managers and the way both franchises are run. Or am I just talking to talk, Kevin? What do you think?
I think you make some good points. I think it's interesting because like we don't know what the Diamondbacks tried to do. Now, right. In a way, like it's like the game itself, results matter, right? But in the business of trading, like there's so much complexity to that. Yeah. And it did come out. Arizona Republic reported that they were they had a deal for Clay Holmes and it fell apart because of questions about, now I don't know if, I'm not putting down Mike Hazen at all. I'm throwing it out there. I don't know if like, did they wait too long? I don't know if Preller would have been like, okay, well then we've got plan B here for this prospect or something. And the Diamondbacks then weren't willing to do plan B or whatever, because obviously they had a plan B too, but they weren't willing to then sub in somebody. I have no idea. What we know is AJ finds a way to get it done, and I'm really glad that you brought that up because I was going to bring it up. That answer was, and I'm speaking for AJ Preller when I never speak for someone, but I know him and I know his philosophy, and I know that he knows through other people what fans, a segment of fans think about the way that he does business. And that was a, like, what the heck? We're trying to win here. Like, I'm AJ Preller. I have my group with me, which I always talk about and how much I trust them. He does not agree with the term kicking the can down the road the way the rest of us use it, but let's just use it. He's freaking completely not only unapologetic, unafraid to kick the can down the road, because he believes that they've got enough in their system despite what everyone else says, and that they'll keep replenishing it so that next year they can kick the can. They can kick the can down the road till the cows come home. That's what AJ Preller believes. So, like, he's like actually confused. Like, what? Like, what do you, women, we're talking about a 19-year-old and a 24-year-old that's in single A, and you want to keep that guy over getting Robbie Ray? Like that's confusing to him.
Right. Here's
like,
the thing.
He doesn't love those guys or like them or whatever, but like, who's helping the 2026 team?
Well, and I'd look at it this way too. Now, Robbie Ray and Casey Mize are both having good years by their standards, right? Pretty good. Robbie Ray, a resurgent year. Casey Mize, less so. But still good. What would both of those guys have cost the Padres in late March when they went, Joe Musgrove's hurt, Nick Pivetta's slowed, you're missing all these other guys? My guess is significantly more than what the Padres had to give up yesterday. That would be my uneducated guess.
Well, one of them would have cost more than the $6.5 million or $6.2 million. And then, of course, okay, so that's all you have? You know, it's like old time. Like, okay, so this is all the money I have, but what if I gave you this fine oxen? Right. And so that's Cash Mayfield, right? Like they, that's like hit the bar of gold that they threw in with the cash. So, yeah, like absolutely. And so the two things that I was shocked about over the course of the lead up to the trade deadline was people saying that the Padres didn't have enough to get done what they needed to get done. And it could be argued, look, they didn't get that left-handed bat. Do we know that's because they didn't have what they, you know, needed, or because they balked at the price? Like, good to have that guy, but or is it because Mickey Moniak is signing with the an extension with the Rockies reportedly? Like, what is, we don't know those reasons, but they did make a weakness into a potential strength. So they got done what they needed to get done. I was surprised by that. And then, like, yes, we had to talk about to some extent the possibility of them being sellers, because that's what people in the organization were saying. And even Preller didn't deny the possibility of that until, you know, the team showed him, okay, they can be what we think they can be by, you know, they went 8-1 going up to the deadline. But I was shocked because, like, the people didn't know they would be buyers or didn't believe they'd be buyers. That's who he is.
Right.
And this is the third straight year. See, 23, they went in thinking, we got a good team, we're fine. That didn't work out. 24, 25, 26, AJ Preller goes in going, all right, we're flawed. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is hang on, be in position at the trade deadline, and we will make the team into a playoff team at the trade deadline.
Right.
Third year in a row.
Yep. No, that's true. That's true. And they got better starting pitching while they still have a chance to make the playoffs, A, without having to spend the sheer money that they would have had to spend to pay these guys had they dealt for them in March, right? And without giving up, I still think that they gave up less in prospect capital now than they would have given up had they tried to get somebody in that range at the start of the season. I do.
Yeah, it's an interesting different market because everybody's in it, right?
Right.
You know, you might be able to get more from the, like, the Padres might be able to get more. Yeah. Like, so what are they paying here? They're actually paying like $18 million if you're talking about for a full season.
Right.
I'm not sure they get Robbie Ray for that. I'm not sure they get Casey Mize for that, like in March. I mean, so, you know, what are they paying? Like, I think at the end, they'll end up paying eight potential. So are they going to end up paying five for Lucas Giolito?
Right.
What do you think they were paying Casey Mize in the, in March? Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, the Padres adding these two starting pitchers, it turns out to be sort of a prescient thing, Kevin, because of the news that came down a little bit after 11 a.m. This morning. Nick Pivetta and Joe Musgrove, both in Lake Elsinore. Our Jeff Sanders is still there in Lake Elsinore for a rehab game against the Ontario Tower Buzzers. Joe Musgrove comes out, looks good, pitched fairly well. Most importantly, was healthy. Nick Pivetta takes over for Musgrove, walks off the mound in the middle of a batter. And if you've seen the video, it's jarring. He just walks briskly off the mound in the middle of a batter, appears to have re-injured something or injured something, shaking his head. Definitely something is up there. This, to me, is a fascinating development in Padre land, not only because of, you know, what this means for their playoff chances, what Nick Pivetta has meant to them, but also the clause in Nick Pivetta's contract. And I'd like to get into all of that a little bit, Kevin. If he's done for the year, the Padres can essentially turn next year's player option into a club option. And I would find it hard to believe that they would pick up that club option, given that Nick Pivetta could be headed for anything from a long rehab to surgery. Correct?
Correct. That's it. The people I've talked to haven't said that's what they'll do, but, like, you know, yeah, hey, we'll have to, you know, deal with that when it comes. And, you know, yeah, why in the world would anybody pick up that option if he's headed for surgery? So, and look, it was always going to be like, people believe Nick Pivetta was going to need surgery at some point. How these arm injuries go, it's like with Joe in 24. You pitch till you can't pitch anymore. And a lot of times you can make it another season. Heck, you can make it. Look, Nick Pivetta's injury, even though Nick tried to tell me that it wasn't the same, like, it's listed as the same thing. The Padres saying it's the same thing. Like, Nick Pivetta had this injury and it kept him out in 24 with the Red Sox. That's why the clause is in the contract.
Right.
So, like, if he needs it now, that's not necessarily a surprise to anyone. They thought he could get through, but that's what this slow play was for. And then the rehab, and they find out, and I don't know, maybe he's being overly cautious. Yeah. We don't know yet, but doesn't look good.
Right. Maybe he spooked himself, right? Maybe he felt something that isn't what he thought it was.
Right.
There's that. It's so funny, Kevin. My eyes were so opened to this in 24. I was sitting, I think, between you and Jeff Sanders and our old friend Bryce Miller at the Joe Musgrove playoff game when he walked off the mound. And both you and Sanders were like, oh, yeah, he's been dealing with it. It was going to go at some point. Like, Joe knew it was an inevitability, right?
Yeah, Joe, maybe not any of us, but yes.
Yes, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but at some point, something was going to give way and he was going to need surgery and he was going to be out a year, right?
Yeah.
These things aren't as fluky as an outsider might think. I'm certain that Nick Pivetta, for 15 million reasons, wanted to get back on the mound this year and wanted to see what his arm could handle, right? He's a competitor, A. There's a clause in his contract that would pay him a lot of money next year, whether he's healthy or not.
Yes. I'm always afraid. Remember Terrell Owens?
Of course.
And the PR lady that said he had 81 million reasons to, you know, yeah. Like, yeah. He did. He had a lot of reasons to get back on the mound. And one of them, you know, big money. $32 million because next year and the year after, because once he picks up this option, you know, then he has the option to take the next year too. Or the Padres could void it. And then he's kind of like, oh boy, surgery and I'm 32 and then 33 and oh boy. Yeah. And then he wants to get back and help the team and all that. Yeah, of course. And it looked good. But there's a real, to your point, after all that babbling by me, to your point, the Padres knew this was a possibility. It's Nick's arm. He probably knew more than anyone that today was a possibility.
Absolutely. And still sad. You know, again, if this is, and I certainly hope this isn't the last we've seen of Nick Pivetta in Padre uniform, but if this is it, Nick Pivetta will be the guy who exceeded all expectations for them last year, right? The second best regular season they've ever had, right?
He's one of the, let's just say that they kind of knew this was going to happen. They did know it was going to be a possibility, right?
Right.
So let's just say that they, like, for all intents and purposes, they committed last year's money and this year's money for last year.
Right.
So that's $2 million last year and 21 this year. So for $11.5 million last year, 11.5 this year, you got an ace of your staff. You got a number one pitcher, not only a number one, but a number one in a year that Yu Darvish and Michael King were unable to be what they were going to be because of injury. Like, Nick Pivetta was huge for the Padres in 2025.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that bulldog attitude, I mean, Kevin, you have a front row seat to Nick Pivetta. Again, a little bit of a different cat, but somebody who, you know, you can't argue with the results that he had as a San Diego Padre. That's for sure. Are we going to see either of these new starting pitchers in Phoenix, Kevin? There's three more games.
Well, once you report, if I'm remembering correctly, and I should know this just like, the back of my hand, given how often it happens with Preller, that you have to, like, once Casey Mize is here, you have to, he has to be on the roster. So he's here. So now Robbie Ray evidently won't be in until late. So he won't be here technically till tomorrow as we take this on Tuesday. So it appears there's zero reason that you wouldn't start a guy if he's ready to go. And the fact is the Tigers held Mize out of his last start for precautionary reasons, knowing that they were going to, trade him. So he's ready to go. Ray's ready to go because we know when he pitched last, it was Thursday. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm suspecting at this point that maybe Ray is Friday, though I do know they would love to wait. They would love to give Walker Buehler another day. During that, Walker Buehler, obviously, he's got the age, he's got the, kind of new ways doing things. Walker Buehler is grinding to the end of this season. And one thing that those starts he had that were really rough in the beginning of the the beginning of July were that they were all on 4 days rest, and he'd only done that once before. They would really like to give him some extra rest.
Right. Randy Vasquez is going to start Wednesday's game. Kevin, I'm not going to get into starting pitching. The pitching matchups the rest of the way.
Too late. The series already started, Ryan.
Right. But Randy Vasquez, I'm sorry, starts tonight, Tuesday, right? Could he be a possibility to be a send-down candidate? I mean, they've got to clear two spots for these new starting pitchers, don't they?
Well, I thought you were saying a possibility to actually be a starter, because that answer is yes. He can't be sent down. He's out of options. There's only a few pitchers that can be, and really only one pitcher that will be, because, the writing is just on the wall. J.P. Right. Sears has options, and you would assume, really strongly, that'd be the guy sent down, because the only other pitchers with options are not going to be sent down, and that are Bradley Rodriguez, and there's one more.
Jeremiah Estrada.
And they are not going to be sent down. So someone's going to go off this roster when Robbie Ray gets here. I don't – because they're out of options. Or someone's going on the IL.
I think of – and again, I hate – speculating, especially they could announce in an hour something that we haven't talked about. But I look at somebody like a Herman Marquez, who's been put in a little bit of a strange position, not really a starter. He's a guy who has dealt with injury stuff earlier this year. I wonder if he might be the odd man out.
Forgetting about a diminutive pitcher who gets rocked every time he's on the mound.
Griffin Canning. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that also makes sense.
And I'm not – look, and also at this point too, this is a time, I always defer to these guys. I watch a lot of baseball. I talk to people in the organization and elsewhere. But, they know so much more than we do. You can see it, and they're talking about it, that Herman Marquez is throwing the ball pretty well. But, we don't know what they're thinking about their future plans in terms of, hey, no, we like how Griffin Canning lines up against these types of batters or whatever. Now, they could be wrong, but they know so much more than us about like what their plans are and where a guy might fit in. But
sure.
My goodness, given that Hermann is pitching better, and maybe just as much, if not more, how, and I hate to say it, I do have so much respect for these guys. Like, even what if I, like a guy like Nick Pivetta, who is just a thorn in my side, so much respect for Nick Pivetta.
Yeah.
And I'm able to separate the two because it's not personal. He's just who he is. Right. And he just feels how he does about the media and people.
Right.
But I have just, I hesitate to say this. Griffin Canning has just been so awful. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to imagine him finishing the season with this team.
And if A.J. Preller's saying, hey, we're going for it, right? And if the Padres – we talk about this, Kevin, on this podcast six times a year. Padres are 10 years past the giving out scholarships portion of being a baseball franchise, right? Yeah. Like if at some point, like, they're going for it, then is Griffin Canning one of their 12 best pitchers? No.
Right, and he just doesn't have options, and those are the types of things that factor in, right? Like, there's just no – chance to send him down and stash him. Like, even in this case, let's say JP Sears was awesome. Like, not awesome. If he's awesome, he'd be here. But like, if it was like, it is a toss up. Is it JP Sears or whatever? I would argue JP Sears been as effective as Hermann Marquez. Like, you know, but it's a toss up. So see you, JP, because you have options. That's the way it is.
Right. And it could be as simple as see you in 4 weeks, right? I mean,
it could be. Yes. Based, you know, the context of what you're saying, it could be. I'm thinking ahead going, I think you can only carry 28 now, and they're going to be trying to win. As complimentary as I will be of JP Sears, I'm not sure that, you know, when they're 3 games back and trying to win in September, that JP Sears will be pitching many innings. Of course, the way that this post deadline has started with a loss, with, 6 hits and Manny's suddenly cold, Toddy's not exactly any better than lukewarm, and Nick Pivetta goes down in a rehab start, we'll see.
Cliches are cliches for a reason, Kevin. So you cannot have too much starting pitching. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode, and today's no different. Put your thinking cap on here, Kevin. Gage Workman, a throw-in in the Tigers trade, it appears. He was the one guy who they got yesterday who I had never heard of before. Did a little homework on him. I learned my favorite fun fact. His middle name is Tater, T-A-T-E-R, named after his grandfather who played some baseball and whose nickname was Tater. Gage Workman's father pitched in the Padres minor league organization. And if you would like to feel old, he pitched in the Padres minor league system in the late 1990s. And apparently has a full-grown major league son, if you'd like to feel old. Gage Workman, I've read some breadcrumbs from you in the last day. There might be a roster spot for this guy somewhere, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he bats left-handed. He has played the outfield. They like him. I don't want to overpromise on him. But, like, Gavin Sheets could go on the IL. Jace Bowen could go down. They do have, you know, Sungmon Song to be the pinch runner. Mm-hmm. I do think Jace Bowen has found a niche somewhere on this team, even though it's been a really rough go. But yeah, that's something that they've talked about, is that he could find a spot on this team.
Right. A 6'6" left-handed hitting, right-handed throwing infielder from Arizona State is what I know about him.
It's interesting. He had played a little outfield from time to time. This is the kind of thing that, you know, you just don't have time to really look at, but you could scour the, baseball reference and look at all the minor leaguers and how many of them suddenly in the 2 weeks before the trade deadline started playing a little different position, a little bit more, perhaps because their team was showcasing them for scouts that they could play in that spot. So he played a little bit more of the corner outfield spots, handful, nothing big, but he did play those in games in AAA this month.
Right. Really interesting profile. I look at guys, a big, tall guy who hits left-handed, who can play in the infield. I'm like, oh, it's like he's got like a little Jeff Blum in him. Like, is it something like that? You don't see a lot of guys who look like that who can play in infield spots. I'm intrigued. I'll be honest with you, Kevin.
To all the listeners, you can get a little insight into my boss here. You know, he's sitting there right in that room there where he's where this is happening that he's describing, and he gets down these rabbit trails. And now he will know more about Gage Workman. He already knows more about Gage Workman than I will ever know. And the guy could be up here for like 6 years, and I could spend almost every day for 8 months with Gage Workman. And Ryan Finley already knows more about his background.
Do you like how I reverse engineered a question that was for you so I could show off what I learned about this obscure baseball player?
I love it because, because it's about Gage Workman, and that's what I love. I absolutely, absolutely love it. I'll be disappointed, and I can't force it because it has to be organic, Ryan, if this does not become your next Eggy.
Oh, Eggy Rosario.
Oh, boy. Listen to his voice there. Listen to his voice.
So you never forget your first love, Kevin.
Don't make Tater your new Eggy. Okay? But if it feels right, then that would be great.
It does feel right. It does feel right. Okay, Padres, Diamondbacks, three more games in this series tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday night, all at 6:40. Padres head home Friday to open the three-game series with the Houston Astros. Maybe by then, Kevin will have a better idea of who slots in where in this rotation and whether Gage Workman's on the team or not. That'd be kind of fun. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.